Pastor Dave, come on and preach the Word of God to us. Give him a great hand.
Take your Bibles, if you will. Please turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Good crowd for Sunday night. Thank you so much for coming back. I got good ears, Brother Jim. Amen. Title tonight, Brother John, is That's My God. We worry so much day after day after day. If you turn on the TV for 5 minutes, which is 5 minutes too much, you'll find out that the world is panicking. But I got to be honest with you, we don't have to panic. We don't even have to worry about it. Do you know you have a God that is in control? You say, well, it's chaotic. Not to him. He knows everything that's going on. He knows that it's going to get crazy. But he's got us protected. And I'm very excited to talk about my God tonight. Very excited about that. The Bible says in Matthew 28:20, Lo, I am with you always. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But there's days, Christian, when, if you'll be honest, you don't feel like he's there. There will be days that, if you'll be honest, you feel like you're alone. Can I help you? Do you believe the Bible tonight? I mean, do you believe it's inspired, infallible, inerrant, pure, perfect, holy, unadulterated, unabridged, unaffected by man? Do you believe your Bible tonight?
Yes.
If you believe your Bible, then the two verses that I read to you, you would have to come to the conclusion that even though you feel like you're alone sometimes, that you are truly never alone. Amen. You have a God that you can take with you because he's always there. You have a God that you can call upon without a shout. You have a God that you can call upon by leaving less than a whisper. You have a God that you can call upon that's as close to you as your heart. You have a God that you can call upon that understands you personally. And I'm going to tell you about a few things tonight that I'm so thankful that my God goes with me. I'm not speaking to you as a person, well, I am so wonderful that God goes with me. No, no. God goes with everybody that has him as Savior. I'm not standing up here saying, because I am a great man, I walk with God. No. No. I'm standing up here telling you that no matter where I go, God goes with me. Not because I ask him to, although I did ask him to at one time, but I don't ask him daily to come with me, although I should. But he goes with me anyhow. Now that has ups and downs, understand, because God goes with you to the bad places too, amen. So watch where you're going, because God is there. Can't hide from God. But even in those bad places, in those bad times, and in those valleys that we go through, God is still there. God desires us. He wants us desperately to have fellowship with him. He wants us to become that friend that sticketh closer to a brother as he is that friend to us. He desires for us to speak to him. He desires for us to have conversation with him. Not in $800 words, but in simple terms that he understands that that's the only ones we know. David has 5 words in his vocabulary, and God understands every one of them. The problem is he gets up every time we have announcements and says every 5 words he's got. Is God really real to you? Hey, listen, that's a question. Is God really real to you? Now listen to me. I'm not talking about the God that these people talk about on the television set. I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about, is God really real to you? Is there a time when you, and I'm not talking about an experience that you, well, I felt him. Don't live your life looking for a feeling. Oh, there's times when you can't help but feel the Holy Spirit. I'll be honest with you. And boy, it's times that you really, really want to be there. When the Holy Spirit's there, you want to be there. I prayed before I came, Holy Spirit, please come down in a special way tonight. I prayed for him to go through every single pew, every single seat, and help somebody. Not because of me, because of him. Do you desire that for your life? When you come to church, do you ask God, please bless me today? Man, I need something. I need something from God that I will not get from the world. You won't get it. You can look in every place the world has to offer, my friend, but you will not find what God has to offer you from the world. The only place you'll find it is from him. There's no greater joy than telling somebody about Jesus Christ. I've come to live with the fact that there's no greater joy whether you win somebody or not. It's a great joy being able to share somebody, being able to share Jesus Christ with them. Being able to tell them and hand them a track, and it's just awesome to be able to know that God is using you. That's my God. My God avails himself and his sufferings to me. My God gives me the opportunity to serve him when I certainly don't deserve that. My God. My God allows me to whisper his name when he could stay in heaven and never come down. My God died for me. Let me tell you about my God tonight. If you'll stand with me, we're going to read Psalm chapter 103. Some of my favorite verses are in this chapter. The Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Glory to God. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Glory to God. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far, glory to God, as far as east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Let's pray tonight. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to stand in this pulpit tonight. Lord, I thank you, which seems to be uncommon anymore, I thank you for being you. You're a great, wonderful, merciful God, and you're good all the time. Lord, help us to seek you out tonight. My prayer stands as this. Lord, let me decrease to nothing tonight and let you increase to everything. Because really, without you, we're nothing. Help us tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you read this chapter, you can't help but getting excited about point number one. Point number one, who is God to me? That God that I serve is a personal pardoner. A personal pardoner. He is a God that knows Mike Sells and loves him anyhow. Hey, let me tell you something right now. We may scoff and we may laugh at that, but in the rooms inside your heart where you would never want to invite anybody else in there, God dwells in those rooms. He knows your frame. He knows your heart. He knows who you are. He knows what you think. He knows where you go. He knows where your mind is. He knows where your thoughts are. And most of all, he loves you even through all of that. Amen. Glory to God. Not only did he say, I'm going to pardon these people, he said, I'm going to pardon that person. The God that I walk with loves me, and when I mess up, He pardons me. Now, maybe that doesn't mean a lot to you, but I've got a past that follows me. I've got thoughts that follow me. I've got things that follow me that I've done way back when. And when I read those verses where it says, as far as the east is from the west, I get a little excited. I get a little excited to remember that I was a drunkard. I get a little excited to remember that I used to listen every day to rock and roll music. And don't you think for one minute that that doesn't affect your mind. Because I'm going to be honest with you, you could pray a rock music song right now, I know the words. How scary is that? There's times I can't pull up John 3:16, but you ask me to pull up song lyrics from my past, I can do it. The devil knows how to get to our hearts. But I've got one inside of me that's greater. He's a personal pardoner. He looks down and he says, hey, Brother Dave, you just messed up, didn't you? He says that a lot. Yes, sir. I forgive you. Matter of fact, I've already forgiven you. Matter of fact, I knew that was coming. You ever wish you could follow your kids around? You see them with a screwdriver heading towards an electrical outlet. Wait! Don't do that. That's the way God is with us, I guarantee you. I guarantee you, he sees us. He knows it's coming. God has a wonderful foreknowledge. He knows exactly what you're going to do, when you're going to do it. He knows how you're going to do it and how often you're going to do it. And glory to God, there's times in my life where I said, man, I'm never going to do that again. And then you turn around, aren't you doing that again? We are a dumb people. And God follows us around and says, I forgive you. I sent my son to die for you. I'm going to pardon you personally. Personally, one-on-one. The God that goes with me, he knows my frame. The God that goes with me, and this, listen, this is not a free ticket to sin. Listen, I get a little tired of that. I'm going to be honest with you. I get a little tired of that. I get a little tired of people saying, well, you Baptist preachers talk about sin liberty. You talk about being able to sin and it not affect your account. Understand this, your sin does not affect your account. Your belief or unbelief affects your account. You're a sinner. Whether you commit another one or not, you're a sinner. What you've got to come to grips with is this. You don't want to live your life for somebody who gave his life for you. Live your life like the devil. You don't want to walk around. I guarantee you, if Bob Shell stepped in front of a bullet and took a bullet and died for me, I'd want to do my dead level best to take care of his family. Why? Because he sacrificed his life for me. Now, how in the world would we look at Jesus Christ and want to do anything different? How in the world would we want to look at Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross, the taking of the crown of thorns, the taking of the beating, and all the things that he went through for us? Why in the world would we want to not do everything we could to live for him? What we've lost grips with today is the fact that sin has an effect. Hey, listen to me. We walk around with a personal pardoner, but sin has an effect on your life. Don't think for one minute that you can go into fornication and not have scars from that. Don't think for one minute that you could get into alcohol and not have scars from that. Amen. Don't think for one minute that you could use drugs and not have scars from that. Amen. What happens is this. Well, I'm a Christian. Glory to God, I'm saved. Nothing can take me out. I might as well live it up down here. Wait till you see God. Amen. Wait till you see God. But even before you see God and your mockery, down here it has a price. Sin has a payday. And although I walk around with a personal pardoner, I want to do my best to not sin against him. I have a personal pardoner. Number two, I have a present, powerful peace speaker. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 46. I remember Dr. Jim used to sing that song, I Know the Peace Speaker. Remember Dr. Jim? Man, I miss him. I love this first verse. God, in Psalm 46, verse 1, is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river. Ooh, man, that's good preaching right there. If you just read the scripture and get a little excited about it, it preaches all on its own. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He hearkened to the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot into fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We look out upon this world today and we think to ourselves, Brother Kativer, there's no way I can make a difference. I'm only one. The enemy, there are far too many. Over and over again, you can look in the scripture. It talks about two men. These are they that turn the world upside down. Two men. You want to turn somebody's world upside down? Tell them about Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, your life is going hard. Your life is going trouble. You're in the middle of sufferings. Understand this. Jesus Christ is on your boat, brother. Wake him up and go say, hey, Jesus, calm the sea a little bit. But understand this. Understand this. The more I read that verse, the more I read that verse, I wonder if Jesus wasn't wanting them to come take a nap with him. Think about that for a minute. Because Jesus, he kind of knew what was going on, right? I mean, if you're talking about Jesus, you're talking about somebody that knows the beginning and the end. You're talking about somebody who I wonder if he maybe stirred up a storm a little bit to get people to come back to him. Because what happened when the storm came? Jesus, we're going to die. Carest thou not that we perish? How many times you said that? Now, maybe not in the Elizabethan English. Carest thou not that we perish? But you may have said, hey, God, where you at? You're yelling real loud, but he's right here. And I wonder sometimes if he doesn't stir up a little bit of suffering in our lives, like preacher preached about this morning, to get us to come back and get closer to him. Hey, I'm not saying that it's fun. Suffering's not fun. But is it necessary? Is it something that we have to do? Understand this. In your life today, right now, if you're a saved person in this room, are you saved? Raise your hand. Good Lord, have mercy. If you're a saved person in here, you've got with you a present, powerful peace speaker. And if you talk to him, say, Lord, I'm not exactly sure why this is happening, but Deuteronomy 29:29 says, secret things belong unto you. I'm just going to go ahead and let you have it. But Lord, understand this. I'm a little fearful. Can't you hear him? Listen to me now. I'm going to talk. Don't get care. You know what? The charismatics take too much from us. I'm going to be real honest with you. It's not wrong to get excited about Christ. It's not wrong to get a little bit happy when you're in church. Well, we can't say anything because then we'll be called charismatic. I don't want to be labeled a charismatic. Oh, that church down there, they raised their hand. So they do in class all the time. They don't call them charismatics. Let me tell you something about this. Jesus Christ, somebody to get excited about. Good Lord, have mercy. He's with you. He's your personal partner, and he's present with you, and he's powerful. The Almighty God resides in you to be a peace speaker, to let you know, hey, I'm here. I will take care of what's going on. You just keep keeping on. Hey, listen, this church is facing battles that we've never faced, not since I've been here. We're fighting battles over the Bible. But there is a river. Amen. Oh, glory to God. There is a river. And that river, who will not be mocked and is powerful, is a refuge for his people, is a peace speaker, is a person in these times where when you just don't feel like fighting anymore, He's there to say, no, fight just one more battle. Please continue to pick up your shield. Please continue to pick up your spear. Please continue to pick up your bow and fight for me. Because not many people are fighting for me today. I'm going to stand here right now and tell you this. When it comes to the Word of God, I'm very, very thankful I've been brought up in a church that will not tuck tail when it comes to God's Word. And I don't care how many feelings it hurts. I don't care how many people are upset. God's Word is pure and holy. It's perfect. It's inspired, inerrant, infallible. Contained therein is no fault. And inside of my heart lies a peace speaker. And he's given me great peace about fighting for his word. Great peace. Great peace have they that love thy law, unless it's a messed up one. Is that what that says? Great peace have they that love thy law, unless there's faults in it. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Brother, there is a river, and that river, even though the seas are coming down, there is a river, even though the tornado's coming, there's a river, even though the winds get boisterous, there's a river, even though you run out of money, there's a river, even though you can't pay your bills, there is a river, and inside that river lives that wonderful Savior that desperately wants to bring peace into your life. Well, how's that possible to get peace? Seek his law. Seek him, because he's the present, powerful peace speaker. And I'm so thankful that he is mine. Not only is he a personal pardoner and a present, powerful peace speaker, he's also a perpetual preserver. I bet you my Bible students know Psalm 12, 6 and 7. Let's turn there real quickly. I want you to read it with your eyes. Brother Dave, everything you bring anymore has a slant on the Bible. Well, let me tell you something. If the preachers would have stayed slanted on the Bible all the years, we wouldn't have to worry about this thing that we're in right now. I want you to look with your eyes on Psalms 12, 6, and 7. And I'm going to tell you what the NIV says in 7. You'll like this. The Bible says the words of the Lord are pretty close. The Bible says the words of the Lord are dependent upon the translators. Boy, you need to hear this right now. I'm going to get ornery here real quick. The words of the Lord are suspect to godly men. That's not what it says. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. I like this next verse. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Who is responsible for keeping God's word? Not the Masoretic Hebrew priests. Although I'm so thankful for the sacrifices they made. Not for the translators. No way. Oh, I'm thankful. Look, let me tell you something. The average person had over 44 years of Hebrew and Greek study, the ones that translate. You don't even have a person on the earth today that has that kind of training, and they averaged that kind of training when they translated the Bible. I'm excited about that, but it wasn't their job. Jimmy could have translated the King James Bible, because it's not them, it was God that took care of it. You messed up my microphone. You look at me and you listen to me right now. If you put man's hands on God's scripture, you call God a liar. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt what? Preserve them. for a few generations, for a little while, until somebody smart enough to unlock the great mysteries of God comes along. Thou shalt keep them, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now listen, he's got two very important jobs right there. He's supposed to keep his word, and he's supposed to preserve his word. The Bible says, I, the Lord, I change not, and I cannot lie. Those two things couple with the fact that he keeps his word and he preserves his word. What in the world are we doing talking about how it got here to us? Amen. Are you kidding me? Why is the debate, how in the world did we get the word of God? Because God kept them, dummy. Because God preserved them, dummy. What's amazing to me is this. We allow God, and I'm putting that in quotation marks so I don't get struck. We allow God to preserve our souls. Think with me, Christian. We allow God to preserve our souls, but we handicap him when it comes to his word? The Bible says he magnifies his word above his very name. Yet we're going to treat his word like he can't handle it? God takes care of that, Christian. God takes care of his word. Now it's our job to study to show thyself approved. It's our job to seek diligently God's word. It's our job to figure out which word of God is the correct word of God. What I'm thankful about, it doesn't take you long to figure out which one it is. If you read it. Psalm 12:7, thou shalt keep them, thou shalt preserve them. The NIV says, thou wilt keep us safe and protect us from such people forever. Look in your scripture. Look in your Bible. I want you to follow along with me while I recite what it says. You read it. In your verse, I'll tell you what it says in the NIV. Unless any of you have an NIV, which if you do, meet me out in the parking lot afterwards, I'll burn it up for you and give you a New King James Bible. Thou wilt keep us safe and protect us from such people forever. It would take you 10 seconds to read that and say, well, one of them ain't right. No, seriously, one of them ain't right. Either he's protecting and keeping and preserving his word, or he's keeping us safe from people forever? What? Listen to me. I don't need to worry about being safe from people. I need to know that you got a word that I can count on. I need to know that you're the almighty preserver that not only preserves my soul, but preserves the word whereby which I was saved. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can't take it out of the scripture. You've got to have scripture to be saved. Say what you want to say. It's in the scripture. I want you to turn with me real quickly. Okay, I can't help it. I can't help it. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1:23. I don't know how in the world we get around this verse in the modern day thinking. In verse 22, let's start here. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. What do you think the truth is? God's word. Through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again. What do you think that is? That's being saved. That's not being born again so you can treat people nice. I would to God have us be born again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Wonder what that is. What in the world could the incorruptible seed be? Thank God that the King James Bible answers it for you. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. Not the words of words, not the thought of God, not the basic intent of the heart of the believer. It says by the word of God. I'm thankful I've got a perfect one. I feel bad for those who don't. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth until the translators get a hold of it. We've got the Almighty Perpetual Preserver with us. Not only does He preserve your souls, He preserves His Word.
Yes.
Which liveth and abideth. Did you know that this is alive? Now listen, I understand that this is not going to get jump up and down out of the pages, and it's not going to do jumping jacks in front of you. But the Word is alive. You say, well, explain that to me. Can't do it. You can't explain it either. Get the most renowned scholars that you can. They can't explain it. But it is alive. It is quick. It is powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, and God is the one that's going to preserve it.
Yes.
Glory to God. What kind of God do you have? I've got one that is a personal pardoner. I've got one that's present, powerful, and He's a peace speaker. I've got one that's a perpetual preserver. Turn to John chapter 10 quickly, and I'll move on. John chapter 10. Many times when I preach in the jail, I bring this verse up because one of the things that the folks in the jail struggle with is eternal security. Hey, listen, I'm so thankful that the Lord is preserving my soul, not my job. I'm not holding on to Him. He's holding on to me. I'm so thankful for that. But I want you to see something in this verse. It's John chapter 10, verse number 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I'm just going to give you a small illustration real quickly. If I took something, I will put this back, I promise you. I take this and I put this in my hand. I wrap my hand around it. I'm going to pretend that this is my soul. I've given it to Jesus Christ. He puts it in His hand. No man is able to pluck it out of my hand. No man. Jesus has taken the soul of Bob Shell and He said, no man is going to take this out of my hand. Let me explain something to you. Not only does that include Brother Thompson, Brother Sailor, Brother Admire. Not only does it include those three guys, it also includes this guy right here.
Yep.
Grab a hold of that and chew on it for a minute. It said no man. Does that include you? Yeah, it does. You can't pull your soul out. Glory to God. In my hand, you can't get this out. I and my Father are one. God takes His hand and puts it over Jesus' hand and says, now try to get it out. You can't get it out of Christ's hands. You're not going to get it out of my hand. And our hands together, you might as well just forget it. We're going to heaven, amen?
Amen.
We couldn't go to hell if we wanted to. We're held in the hands. We're held in the... You saw that, right? We're held in the hands. Count on the Jew to see the money. We held on the hands. I guarantee you. You count on the hands. I told you not to give me the mic, brother. You hold the hand. Jesus Christ holds you inside. The Lord, the Heavenly Father, holds you inside. And glory to God. I can't even get out of those hands. We have got a perpetual preserver. And we can't take His job from Him. The last one. Thank God. We've got a promoter and a perfecter. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I understand that this is nothing new. But you know what? We are getting to a day, my friends, where the old needs to be preached. We are getting to a day that we need to cease to look for nuggets and start to go back to real deep meat scripture. And oh, this isn't deep meat. This is a surface stuff. No, this is meat right here.
Yeah.
This is what we need. This is our sustenance. We need to know that God loves us today.
Amen.
We need to know that God cares about us today. We are walking around defeated, and we are the winners. Good Lord, when the New York Yankees walk into a ball stadium, it used to be, though, they'd walk in and win before the game even started because the other team was defeated. You being a Christian, you have to throw your shoulders back and understand that there's going to be a day when you switch addresses. There's going to be a day when you cease to live here and start to live there. There's going to be a day when Jesus Christ says, come up hither, and we go and meet him. I'm just wondering if any of you be looking back. We've got a place that we are going that's so exciting. No suffering, no tears, no sorrow. Walking on streets of gold. Glory to God. And we can't get out of it. If you've ever accepted the Lord as your Savior, you can't get out of it. Amen. Nope, sorry, you committed to me. Can't get out of my hand. You say, well, that just doesn't make sense. If I do wrong, then I should not go. You've always done wrong. What makes now so different? You think about that ever? Well, I was saved out of being an alcoholic. Yeah, I just switched sins. Come on, be honest with yourself. You've just switched sins. You know, okay, so beer's not your sin. Now it's gluttony. We just talked about it at the dinner table, gluttony. While we were gluttoning.
I think it's better than gluttony too. That's definitely something that I definitely struggle with it.
For 25 minutes solid, doing fork curls the whole time. We just switch sins, my friends. We've just switched sins. See, you are a sinner. That's what happens when you're a sinner. You maybe, over here, yeah, you did these really horrible things. I love people that put a degree on sin. Well, we can't have them in this church because they did this in their past. Ooh, don't open up that can of worms, brother. Because there's somebody that walks with you that knows your heart and knows what you've done and what you're thinking. He knows where you've been. And boy, I tell you, I've had some glances shot at me day after day being in this pulpit. That's the one hard thing about being a preacher. You get people go. And I'm thinking to myself, glory to God, Brother Jim Delaschmidt was right. You remember him saying this? You throw a brick into a pack of dogs, the one that yelped is probably the one that got hit. So if you're sitting there looking back at me, I just took the brick and hit you with it. Talk to God, brother. He's inside. Well, at least I hope he is. Oh, that was uncalled for. But that was directed towards David. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Starting in verse 51. Glory to God. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We're not all going to die. But we all shall be changed. Amen. You ever had an ache and pain? Some right now?
Yes.
You ever been sleepy? You ever been tired from the work, not tired of the work? You ever get sick of bills? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound. That's not a guess. Thank God he's preserved his word so I can read this. Let me explain something to you real quick. I'll get right back to this, I promise. What really irritates me more than anything else, when people start to blow away the scriptures, what verses are they blowing away? Well, there's faults in it. Which ones? Because this one's important to me. Moment, twinkling of an eye, very important. What if it said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall all sleep. Most of us shall be changed. What if it said that? In a few hours, in the twinkling of an eye, at the second to last trump, for the trumpet may sound, and some will be raised incorruptible. Listen, that's just changing a few words. How do we know that that's not where the error is? See, what you got to understand is this. Either you have it or you do not. You can't be in between because you are not and I are not smart enough to figure out where the errors are. What if the error was that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved? Thou, how about if that said that if thou shalt believe with thy heart and confess with thy mouth and get baptized? What you got to understand is this. He's a preserver. He preserved his word for you perfectly so you know what it says. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Glory to God. And we shall be changed. Listen to this now. For the corruptible, I know you've heard this a million times. For the corruptible, I know maybe that you're, I'm just bored. This should make you excited, Christian. In a moment of twinkling of an eye, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Man, I'm 39. Not one gray hair, by the way. Crushing physique. Hey, listen, I don't care how good your physique is, brother. You're not immortal. And there's going to be a day, glory to God, when he helps us to put on immortality. Can you imagine not having to punch the clock? Why don't punch a clock? See me after. I'd like to know how you did it. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, and thank God it's written perfect for us. Amen. Death is swallowed up in victory. Our last enemy is defeated by the promoter and the perfecter. Hey, listen, we're imperfect now. We're imperfect. But God looks down, and if you're a saved person here today, he looks down and he sees somebody just as if they've never sinned. In God's eyes, you're already there. Can you imagine that, Christian? In God's eyes, you're seated there. We talk about going on vacation. Wait till eternity. We're going to put on immortality. The things of this world are going to be strangely dim. Because you're going to say, what was I up in the air about? I'm in heaven now. And I love to think about folks that have gone on. I had a hard time when Melinda passed away. I had a hard time when Madison passed away. I have a hard time watching our people go to be with the Lord because I see the death. But the Bible says that precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. Precious. And in the day that came to those people, they shouted hallelujah as they greeted the Lord and walked on streets of pure and perfect gold. Walking on streets where there's no cancer there. I hate that word. Man, I hate that word. It seems like I hear that. As a matter of fact, I very seldom say cancer. I call it the C word. It's a bad word. It's scary, debilitating. But this is not our home. This world is sin-cursed. This world is loaded with it. And it's not getting better. But understand this. Our God is great. Amen. Our God is in control. And our God is going to promote us someday to perfection. Amen. You're going to leave this behind. See, it talks about your bodies joining together. I don't know if I want this one. Think about that for a minute. I'm so thankful that God's going to change it to be glorified. Because I don't want this one running around up there. Man, my feet stink. I got psoriasis all over me. I got skin flakes falling everywhere. I cannot wait to go to heaven and get rid of all that garbage.
Amen.
I can't wait to go to heaven where everybody's nice to each other.
Amen.
I can't wait to go to heaven where there's no debate over God's pure word. I can't wait to go to heaven where the soup tastes good, always hot. I can't wait to go to heaven where filet mignon doesn't cost you $7.99 a pound from Australia at Giant Eagle right now, and it's good. I can't wait to go to heaven where the produce is never spoiled. I can't wait to go to heaven where there's no Giant Eagle waiting to rip you off in the prices so you can get a gallon of gasoline for free. I can't wait to go to heaven where the chewing gum is never stale, where the pretzels are always crisp, and glory to God, my team never loses. I can't wait to go to heaven, glory to God. And we sit and worry about this all the time when we're going to be promoted someday. We're going to be perfect someday. And we worry about this old world, glory to God. You're not staying here very much longer, Christian.
Amen.
I can't wait. You know what's the greatest thing about heaven, preacher? It doesn't matter. I love this. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what kind of life you led. It doesn't matter what kind of places you've been. What matters is if you've accepted Jesus Christ, he's going and went to prepare a place for you.
Amen.
To prepare a place for me? God. A couple of weeks ago, I cursed your name because this bill came in and I bounced a check. Lord, how in the world could you want me there? And he looks down, he says, I don't know. No, he looks down. And he says, because you are who I came to save. And if not you, then who? Because you must understand, Christian, all those things, that God that you take with you is all those things. But understand this, the greatest thing that he is to you, the greatest thing is your friend. And no matter where you go, he's there. No matter what your heart says, oh, one of my favorite scriptures, when my heart condemns me, God is greater than my heart. And he goes to prepare a place for me on the other side of heaven from David Siegel. And he's going to have to put me over there because there's no sin in heaven. I swear, I will. When you go, Christian, when you go, when you leave these doors tonight, who goes with you? Who goes with you? Do you take a personal pardoner with you? Do you take a present, powerful peace speaker with you? When you go, do you take a perpetual preserver with you? When you go, are you taking somebody that someday is going to promote you to perfection? Because if you take that God with you, why aren't you smiling? If you take that God with you, why are your shoulders drooped? If you take that God with you, the rest of the world just isn't so bad. Because God loves you and he's going to take care of you no matter what. Turn to him today. That's my God. That's my God. Who goes with you? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for all the things that you are. Lord, I pray that this isn't too bold to say, but Lord, I can't wait to meet you face to face. Lord, I know that I won't be able to behold your glory. I know, Lord, that I will be so ashamed to be in your presence because I know how great you are. But Lord, I believe through all that, you're going to introduce yourself to us. I believe you're going to show us yourself. And Lord, I can't wait to thank you personally for saving my dirty, rotten, wretched soul. Lord, I thank you for giving us a book that contains your word, unadulterated, yes, perfect, pure and holy. Yes. I'm so thankful that you promised us that you'd preserve her. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you have. Lord, be with these people tonight. Let them know how great you are. Let them know how wonderful you are. And let them know that wherever they are, that's where you are. To help them, to love them, to be there with them. I turn to my left hand. I turn to my right hand. But the Lord is still going to be there for your refuge. Look to him. Lord, be with us tonight in a special way. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher.
With every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe tonight you'd say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm going through some real trials in my life. Would you pray for us?" Who'd say that? Yes, 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 ma'am, yes, sir. Yes, 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 God bless you. God bless you. Yes, ma'am, yes, sir, I see that. Yes, I see that, ma'am. Yes, sir, I see it in the front there. Yes, ma'am, I see that. I'm glad we have a God that loves you. I'm glad we have a God that Pastor Dave just preached to you about, that preserves us, that keeps us, and gives us peace. And by the way, if that Bible's not pure, then all these things we believe, how can you believe any of them? I was thinking about my grandson, Austin. Don't ever let him take the Bible from you, Austin. You just remember Grandpa always taught you that old King James Bible is God's holy word.